Radio's coverage of AusCert's 2008 conference is sponsored by Microsoft. Visit itradio.com.au/AusCert08 for IT Radio's full coverage of this year's event and to hear Microsoft's AusCert presentations. Or go to itradio.com.au/security for the Risky Business podcast, honing your eardrums since February 2007.
Hello and welcome to this AusCert interview sponsored by Microsoft. I'm Patrick Gray. And speaking of Microsoft, they've just finished a fairly big study into vulnerabilities, malware, and the relationship between the two. And more interestingly, the distribution of malware throughout the internet. George Stathakopoulos, Microsoft's General Manager of Product Security, and Ziv Mador, Microsoft's Response Coordinator from the company's Malware Protection Center, popped by our makeshift studio at AusCert to have a chat about their recent research into malware infections. By collecting data from 450 million Windows boxes running Windows Defender and their malware removal tool, Microsoft was able to gain unprecedented insight into the propagation of malware throughout the internet. And you can download the report that we're discussing from microsoft.com/SIR. Here's the interview. Enjoy. So, Ziv, you have in front of you a report which is, you know, pretty thick. What's in it?
It has a couple of sections. One section discusses trends in the vulnerability disclosures in the software industry, Microsoft products as well as non-Microsoft products, and look for trends. There is another section about malicious software and potentially unwanted software and what we see by the telemetry we get from our different products.
Okay, look, let's start with the vulnerability stuff. But, I mean, is this really a look at disclosed vulnerability counts? George Stathakopoulos, please tell us.
Yes, it contains all the things we have fixed, and it also contains all the numbers we receive in the industry, vulnerabilities in the industry.
But that in itself has never really been regarded as a measure of security, has it, a vulnerability count?
So actually, it's exactly one of the things that we found in this report, which is really interesting, right? Although the number of the vulnerabilities in products across the industry, for the first time this year, has a small decline, the number of infections and the number of people who have malware into their systems actually increased, which shows that security is not related just to product quality and product security, but it's also related to other topics like social engineering and so on.
Okay, so Ziv, I mean, what we're basically saying here is that you've been able to study vulnerability counts and then discover that vulnerability counts don't actually tell you anything that significant. Is that right?
We see the shift to social engineering as a major way to distribute malware. And the social engineering attacks are very varied. They use many different techniques. Sometimes they also involve exploits of vulnerabilities. So it's in some cases a combination of exploits of existing vulnerability along with trying to lure the user to run some executable or program.
Now, where did you get most of your data from for this vulnerability stuff? Was that just everything off Full Disclosure, Bug Track, or OSVDB? Where did you actually get the information from?
CVE, vulnerability emulator, and also MSRC data. So this is our data.
Okay, so your data and as well as the common vulnerability. What are they?
Common vulnerability enumerator.
Yeah. God, they had to give it a complicated name, didn't they? We can pretty much dismiss that talk of, so we know the vulnerability count's coming down, attacks are going up. So look, that's probably not something we should really dwell on for this interview. But let's talk about actual infections. You guys used Windows Defender, was it, was it Windows Defender reporting back to MS where you got your data from?
We collected telemetry from different technologies and tools. One of them is the malicious software removal tool that we ship every second Tuesday of the month, along with the security updates. And it's being run by about 450 million users around the world every month.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a few people.
Yeah, it looks for malware from the top 100 prevalent families, currently prevalent or that they were prevalent at some point of time. So that's one tool. The other parts of the telemetry come from Windows Defender, which is included in Windows Vista and also available as a separate download for down-level operating systems.
Okay, and what were the findings of all of this stuff reporting back to you?
There are a couple of findings. One, we see increase in the number of social engineering as a way to distribute malware.
Well, that's got to be a good sign, right?
Why?
Well, it's got to be a good sign in terms of your product security if the bad guys are having to resort to social engineering attacks on the user to run their badness.
you assume that you always care about the ecosystem. So we feel good that we've done progress into our products, but we still have to make sure that the ecosystem, you know, becomes as secure as possible. I think one of the things you heard this morning, right, in Scott's presentation is that we have to actually up the level, and we have to try to bring the concepts of trustworthy computing into the internet. And I think the paper that we actually released starts talking about the topic, starts discussing how we get there. You know, if you remember, he talked about we need to continue working on the fundamentals. Not only that, but we need to spread the fundamentals across the whole industry. We need to build a trusted stack, and at the same time, we need to have a better way to create identity authentication, authorization.
So let's talk some hard numbers here. You were talking about how it's mostly socially engineered attack vectors, which is getting this stuff onto systems. What sort of proportion of infections are as a result of social engineering, and how does that break down on different OSs? Is it more on Vista, more on XP? What's the breakdown?
The type of malware we see more often now is malware downloaders or malicious downloaders that are used bundled with spyware, adware, and other potentially unwanted software to distribute those programs.
So dancing bears, screensavers, things like that.
Screensavers are, for example, codecs, malicious codecs that show up on some websites and people are encouraged to install them. The usage of ROG security products becoming pretty common. The attackers try to use different techniques to lure the users to install these products as a way to make revenues.
Yeah.
So, for example, they'll pop up alerts that the computer is infected.
Yeah.
While it's actually not, or even if they install those products, they won't get any real protection.
Yeah, but they install them and they get a warning that pops up that says, "Hey, download. You know, we found a threat. You need to give us $80, and then we'll clean it for you." That sort of thing, right? When really it's just a cookie, or Okay, cool. Okay, so what about breaking down, you know, the distribution of malware according to software version, according to operating system version? How are you finding that the Vista ecosystem compares to the XP ecosystem?
So we did run those stats, and we normalized them so that the popularity of the operating system doesn't have an impact on the actual numbers.
Yep.
And after normalization, what we have seen is that the number of Vista computers that are found infected with malware is 60% less than the number of Windows XP Service Pack 2 computers. And if you compare Vista with no Service Pack to Windows XP with no Service Pack, the gap is even wider. It's about 91% less. So it is significant.
Okay, and what do you attribute that to, George?
Well, there's a lot of things. So first of all, we did better engineering, right? So XP-SP2 is a significant step over, like, you know, its predecessors. And then in Vista, we put a lot of work. The security development lifecycle came into place. We fixed a lot of problems. We built defensive depth into the system. And, you know, I think we start seeing some of the benefits.
If I may add, I think Vista helps protecting the user both from exploits and from social engineering. Exploits is obvious why, because we patch all the known vulnerabilities into products from earlier versions of Windows. Social engineering, because it includes technologies to protect, to alert the user against a possible attack. Tools, technologies like UAC, for example, and Windows Defender as well will alert the user, so they're less likely to fall prey to this type of attack.
For all the grief you have given me with UAC, UAC actually effectively protects people, has made a difference, and it's pretty good.
Well, isn't there a presentation later on today about how UAC won't actually protect you from malware?
Well, look at the numbers.
Okay. But, I mean, it's one of your guys who's doing it, so, you know, we're going to record it, but we'll make it available to listeners later on.
The message there is not that UAC doesn't help. It's not the message there is that it doesn't provide 100% protection.
So congratulations for not saying silver bullet, because no one is allowed to say silver bullet on risky business. They're also not allowed to say it raises the bar or it takes care of the low-hanging fruit. So congratulations. For right now, just passing that test and saying that it doesn't provide 100% protection, because that's straightforward language and we like it. Just before we wrap it up, what are the key sort of counterintuitive findings? What are the findings that you think are the least obvious, Ziv, that you've that you found? What was the biggest thing that made you go whoop? Woo.
I don't know if I can come up with something like that, because the trend we see are pretty consistent for quite a long time. The fact that Vista is less infected, the rise of malicious downloaders are a trend that we see for over a year now. So
yeah, it was all pretty much what you expected.
In a way, yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, Ziv Mador and George Stathakopoulos, thank you very much for taking some time out to speak to Risky Business.
Thank you.
Thank you.